Man Defined, Part 3. The focus will be on Chapter 15, Genesis, of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, pages 515 to 517, which relates to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Chapter 15 is in the Key to the Scriptures portion of the textbook. It is highly recommended that before one commences a treatment, that one listens to or studies the references in the MP3, which is entitled Definitions, Quotations, and Summaries. Verse 26 from the Bible states, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Notice that the word "let" is included in this sentence and at the very beginning. Only in the next verse, which is verse 27, did any creation take place where it says, "So God created man." So it appears that the writer of these two verses, and in fact it's true throughout all of Genesis chapter 1 and the first part of Genesis 2, where the individual involved must open consciousness. In other words, we have to let the truth enter into our life. A quote from Shakespeare at the beginning of Science and Health states, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And also, before that, from John, it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So we have to know the truth about reality, and we have to open our thought to be paying attention, and we have to accept it. Otherwise, the truth does no good in our individual experience. It is there, but if we don't let it in, internalize it, and practice it, exercise it, and let it guide our every thought, speech, and action, it does no good for us individually. Verse 27 says that God does His work, but 26 is the preface, the prerequisite, the requirement. If one studies Genesis chapter 1 from the beginning to verse 3 of chapter 2, they will find that all seven of the major actions in that series of verses requires the letting to precede the action in order for it to be experienced individually. It's like two individuals that are pursuing the study of what God is and God's capabilities and what man is and the relationship between God and man. And they are out on the beach. And the one student sees two sets of footprints in the sand. And they continue on for a while. And then he sees only one set of footprints. The other just disappeared. And so he asks the other student that is more advanced than he is, he says, I don't understand. What happened to the other set of footprints? He said, this is a symbol. He said, when there's two sets of footprints, one individual is walking side by side with God. When there's only one set of footprints, it means the individual is walking by himself because he is not letting God be in his experience to guide him and direct him. In other words, God evaporates from his consciousness because he's not paying attention. He's not letting God guide him. God is there, but he doesn't experience it. He doesn't see God. Mary Baker Eddy now starts her explanation of the verse. And let me read the verse again. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. The first paragraph of explanation about the Bible verse is entitled Eloistic Plurality. The eternal Elohim includes the forever universe. The name Elohim is in the plural, but this plurality of spirit does not imply more than one God, nor does it imply three persons in one. It relates to the oneness, the triunity of life, truth, and love. Quote, let them have dominion, end of quote. Man is the family name for all ideas, the sons and daughters of God. All that God imparts moves in accord with him, reflecting goodness and power. The next paragraph title is Reflected Likeness. Your mirrored reflection is your own image or likeness. If you lift a weight, your reflection does this also. If you speak, the lips of this likeness move in accord with yours. Now compare man before the mirror in his divine principle, God. Call the mirror divine science, and call man the reflection. Then note how true, according to Christian Science, is the reflection to its original. As the reflection of yourself appears in the mirror, so you, being spiritual, are the reflection of God. The substance, life, intelligence, truth, and love, which constitute deity, are reflected by his creation. And when we subordinate the false testimony of the corporeal senses to the facts of science, we shall see this true likeness and reflection everywhere. The next paragraph is entitled, Love Imparts Beauty. God fashions all things after his own likeness. Life is reflected in existence, truth in truthfulness, God in goodness, which impart their own peace and permanence. Love, redolent with unselfishness, bathes all in beauty and light. The grass beneath our feet silently exclaims, quote, the meek shall inherit the earth, end of quote. The modest Arbutus sends her sweet breath to heaven. The great rock gives shadow and shelter. The sunlight glints from the church dome, glances into the prison cell, glides into the sick chamber, brightens the flower, beautifies the landscape, blesses the earth. Man, made in his likeness, possesses and reflects God's dominion over all the earth. Man and woman, as coexistent and eternal with God, forever reflect in glorified quality the infinite Father, Mother God. As stated, God gave man dominion. However, it is dominion over all the tools that God provides. And God provides all the tools, and they are all symbolized. And if we're awake, we will recognize them and we will utilize them. And then it will have an impact on our individual experience. It is an individual choice on whether we want to be blind or alert, whether we want to accept all of the beauty that God provides, or whether we want to be putting our dark sunglasses on or looking into a fog where we can't see what clearly is there. I don't believe I've mentioned the scientific statement of being yet in this recording, but in essence, it provides a tremendous tool. And by just substituting a few of the words, enables it to apply directly to the situation at hand, no matter what it is. It states, there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind, and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. I had a healing one time, many years ago, utilizing this very scientific statement of being. One time, when I looked in the mirror, as I was shaving, I noticed that there was a bump that was above my right eye. I didn't recall bumping that area against anything. And so what came to me was to substitute some words in that very powerful scientific statement of being so that it would apply directly to the situation at hand. And I should add that I didn't do anything about it for a while, but the bump kept growing and growing. And finally, after a few days, then the thought occurred to me about utilizing the scientific statement of being. And the thought occurred to me only to do it when I was in the bathroom, but to do it every time I was in the bathroom. So whether I was going in there for any reason at all, whether it was a shower or otherwise, I would take that time to recite the scientific statement of being in a personal manner. Something like this. There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in a growth above man's eye. That means there is no growth above my eye, as I'm an individual manifestation of man. All is infinite mind, and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. The belief of a growth above man's eye is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. But the belief of a growth above man's eye is unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and I am God's image and likeness. Therefore, I cannot experience a growth above my eye, for anything unlike God is unreal, and therefore I cannot experience it. I am spiritual. I am not made up of brain, blood, bones, or any other so-called material elements. And that's the name of that tune. So each time I was in the restroom, that's exactly the kind of thing that I stated. It had variations, but basically that was it. Whatever came to me at the moment is what I stated to refute what apparently was trying to be symbolized when I looked in the mirror to shave. Or if I was doing anything else in there, I recited it without looking at it or noticing it or touching it. I never gave a thought to it in a physical way, but instead I refuted that it could be real. Without any other work on that problem, it disappeared. It seemed like it was maybe 2 or 3 days. And during that time, I probably stated the scientific statement of being, 10 or 15, maybe 20 times. For I would go in the restroom after I would eat and brush my teeth. And when I would shower or be there for any other purpose. So I would guess probably 4 or 5 times a day I was in the restroom doing something. And I would say about a 3-day period covered the time at which it totally disappeared. There was no scar, no evidence of anything whatsoever that there had been any kind of a problem that even appeared. Mary Baker Eddy states that we should do an analysis to determine the problem. We should expose the error, and we should explain it away with the truth. The scientific statement of being covers all 3 of those steps that Mary Baker Eddy defines. The definition of God states principle as one of the 7 synonymous terms. And principle includes system and structure. And the definition of God also includes spirit, which means that that is the only substance, and spirit is defined by Mary Baker Eddy as flawless and transparent, and therefore reflective. So if we are going to be creating some kind of a treatment, whether it's written or verbal, whether it's totally extemporaneous, if we're listening, I believe that the words will come to us in a manner that complies with Mary Baker Eddy's formula for healing. What do I mean by formula? Take a look at page 146 in the textbook. It states, divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for the present application to the cure of disease. And as I've stated in numerous recordings, and probably in this one, disease, to me, can be translated to meaning anything that is unlike God. Any kind of a disease, any kind of a discord, any chaos, anything that is not the harmony that would be provided by divine principle. Divine principle, being system and structure, everything has to be harmonious. Love includes plan and design. So the plan and design of principle has to be something that is expressing all of the qualities of love. Love includes the word wholeness and completeness. Certainly a principle couldn't be whole and complete if it were rough, chaotic, out of balance. All of the synonymous terms for God and what their terms represent work in harmony with each other. So love has to be applied to principle. The intelligence of mind, the knowing and the wisdom of mind, the capacity, capability, functionality of mind has to be applied to principle, has to be applied to every synonymous term for God. We can't be thinking about truth and it not be an intelligent way. It can't be a stupid, ignorant way. We cannot make unwise decisions about how we love because we would be missing the qualities of mind. If we're going to love, that means we have to include the qualities of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and truth in the way we are expressing love. And the same way with spirit, the way we think about substance. Can it be an ignorant way, or must it be intelligent and wise? Do we want to think of a substance that is temporal or a substance that is eternal? How about life? Do we want to live our life in a stupid, ignorant, unwise way? Do we want to be careless, chaotic, which means that we are totally ignoring principle in the way we conduct our life? Unfortunately, when we follow what the phone is trying to tell us, if we pick it up and listen, then we're in big trouble. And what I refer to here is that Wentworth Winslow said, think of yourself as being in a room where you have a telephone, which is duplex. Both people can talk at the same time if they want to do that, ignore what the other one is trying to say, to make their egotistical point, self-will, let it rule them. Or do we want to listen to what Mr. Winslow says as a radio that is tuned in to station KOG, Kingdom of God? And it's only announcing the qualities of God. It's announcing what God is, what mind is, what spirit is, and soul, and principle, and life, and truth, and love. And it's announcing how these work together, just as I've been explaining here in this recording in the last few moments. Is that what we want to listen to, or do we want to pick up the phone and argue? Do we want to say what Jesus said, or conduct ourselves in the way that Jesus says we should do in our talking? And he says, say, yea, yea, nay, nay. He doesn't say argue. When somebody tried to present an evil to him, such as the example of the devil symbolized by a person talking to him after he had spent 40 days and 40 nights in the desert and gave him those three temptations, he didn't argue with the devil. He simply stated the truth. The devil would say, the Bible says this, that, and the other, and Jesus would refute that, not in words, but by stating the truth. The same with Mary Baker Eddy. She was accused of being prayerless. She didn't argue with him. She didn't say, no, I'm not. You're crazy. No, she just stated the truth. She said that she prayed 3 times a day. Forgive me if I've already said this in this recording. I had some interruptions in the process, and so it was some time ago that I started this recording. And everything is extemporaneous on these recordings, so whatever comes to me, I say it. Hopefully, I'm saying the things that are all directly from inspiration, spiritual inspiration. So we must let ourselves be guided by truth, what is being announced by the radio, tuned in to station KOG, and not pick up the suggestions that are offered by mortal mind via the symbol of the phone in this example. There's plenty of temptations out there to be following mortal mind. We may be driving or walking along the street and see an accident. Well, that's a temptation. That's a temptation to recognize that there is something besides one mind, or there is something besides divine principle that is always in balance and smooth. Something that is not godlike. Something that is not in accordance with the spiritual senses, which sees the spiritual, seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. The temptations are to get off of the path of truth. Truth is without error, without mistake. Or to believe that life can be chaotic, up and down, an accident here, an accident there, a pleasure here, a pleasure there. That's the dance of mortal mind. That is not the truth of being. That is not following the statement of the scientific statement of being. It's our choice. It's an individual choice. Every moment is our choice on how we're going to conduct our life. Is it going to be in accordance with the things that we should be learning from Mary Baker Eddy's beautiful writings and spiritual inspiration? Or is it going to be something that is a belief of life, truth, and intelligence in a so-called matter, or mortal mind, or animal, or vegetable, or mineral? Do we want to go according to animal magnetism? Do we want to be attracted? That's what magnetism means. Do we want to be attracted to an animal nature? Animal nature is based on individual survival, or maybe group survival. That means that living is not natural, but it's something we have to fight for. Well, I would prefer looking at life as being natural and not something you have to fight for. I'd like to think that we should be intelligent enough in our reflection of the intelligence of the one and only infinite, incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, that we are going to have a model that we look at constantly. These kinds of things we're talking about here should be our model, the qualities of God. By the way, if I haven't mentioned it before, the founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, Helen Wright, wrote a beautiful book full of really, really important things. And that is entitled Your Divinity Revealed. And in it, there are 7 chapters. Well, there are many more, but 7 of the chapters are for each of the 7 synonymous terms. And she attended everyone's class that supposedly was an advanced student of Christian Science. And so her work includes everything she learned from all of the ones that preceded her. And I mean, she was thorough. She traveled the world to attend whatever she needed to attend, to learn from whomever was there that had a reputation of an advanced understanding of the textbook. She would go to Europe without any problem, wherever she had to go to. In fact, she was married, and she would leave a note on the table, and she'd say, "Sorry, honey, but I'm inspired to go here or there or whatever. I don't know when I'll be back, but I'll keep in touch." She was a person that was really going after a development of a better understanding of God, man, and the relationship between God and man. And she was a ghostwriter for some of the top authors in Christian Science. And she finally decided, well, I'm just going to start writing books under my own name. And so she did. And in 1988, she formed the Mary Baker Eddy Institute along with her husband. And it was one of the first ones on the internet. And I remember back in 1988 what the internet was like. I had to argue with people that I was doing business with. I was doing business in various countries. And I had to argue with them to use what was called MCI mail. That was, to my knowledge, the very first email. And boy, they just rejected that. It was a new idea. They didn't want to do it. And yet it gave you what email gives you, an opportunity to communicate worldwide. But boy, it was like any new idea, mortal mind fights it. Anything that has to do with advancement and debunks limitation, mortal mind fights it. I remember my first 21-inch screen. It cost me $2,500 in 1990. Now, of course, you can buy a 55-inch for a few hundred dollars. And back in those days, it was so big and heavy that you had to have it delivered by commercial freight. Just the delivery cost was like $150. Now, I don't think you would even pay $150 for a 21-inch screen, let alone the delivery cost, which you can carry it underneath your arm. They're so light and thin. Okay, let's proceed with what is going on here. And the second verse that I intended to cover is connected to the first one. And it is Genesis 1:27. And again, this is the spiritual interpretation of it, or includes it, from Mary Baker Eddy on pages 515 to 517. In the chapter of Genesis, which is a part of the Key to the Scriptures. Genesis 1:27 states, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." Now remember what the prior verse was, Genesis 1:26. I'll read it again just to refresh our thought on it. Okay, verse 26. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Well, is what God created going to be a part of our experience? We know that God is good because it states that on page 587, the definition of good is God, Spirit. And then it gives us the four omnis. God, Spirit, that's what good is. So if it is good, then it is God. If it is God, it is good. If it is Spirit, it is good. If it is Spirit, it is God. These are what Mary Baker Eddy calls reversible propositions, or in this case, reversible definitions. You can put either one you want as the subject and the other one as the object, and it's true. Okay, the focus is on the word let in verse 26, let. Are we going to let? Are we going to open up thought to let the truth in about what God has always already had complete. And that is that he created man, which is in verse 27 now, that he created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So when it says, let us, Mary Baker Eddy, as I will read in a moment, says us means the male and the female qualities are all combined in the word man. That's the us. That's the us. It's the male and the female qualities. The love of a woman, the care and tenderness and kindness, the nurturing characteristics of a female. And the man is supposed to be the strength and the courage and those kind of characteristics. Okay, here's what Mary Baker Eddy says about verse 27. To emphasize this momentous thought, it is repeated that God made man in his own image to reflect the divine spirit. Now, the title of this paragraph is Ideal Man and Woman. So man is man and woman. Okay, so to emphasize this momentous thought, it is repeated that God made man in his own image to reflect the divine spirit. It follows that man is a generic term. Masculine, feminine, and neuter genders are human concepts. In one of the ancient languages, the word for man is used also as a synonym of mind. This definition has been weakened by anthropomorphism or a humanization of deity. The word anthropomorphic is such a phrase as an anthropomorphic god. That is derived from two Greek words signifying man and form, and may be defined as a mortally mental attempt to reduce deity to corporeality. The life-giving quality of mind is spirit, not matter. The ideal man corresponds to creation, to intelligence, and to truth. The ideal woman corresponds to life and to love. In divine science, we have not as much authority for considering God masculine as we have for considering him feminine. For love imparts the clearest idea of deity. The world believes in many persons, but if God is personal, there is but one person, because there is but one God. His personality can only be reflected. Now, the paragraph title to this paragraph I'm reading is called Divine Personality. So she says his personality can only be reflected, not transmitted. God has countless ideas and personality, and they all have one principle and parentage. I'll read that again. God has countless ideas, and they all have one principle and parentage. The only proper symbol of God as person is mind's infinite ideal. What is this ideal? Who shall behold it? This ideal is God's own image, spiritual and infinite. Even eternity can never reveal the whole of God, since there is no limit to infinitude or to its reflection. That's the end of the spiritual interpretation of Genesis 1, verse 27 from Mary Baker Eddy. And that is from page 515 to 517, which is really the topic we're covering in this particular recording that is entitled Man Defined, Part 3. It seems that one of the most important things to remember is what John Morgan brought to our attention about the word WORD, which is the number one item in the city of God, which is the four square, which is the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. And the reason I'm bringing this up about the Word, which is the first of those, is that he said, well, number one, the Word really represents the facts about God. And Mr. Morgan brings up the idea that we cannot even be serious about studying about what God is unless we have exhausted ourselves, given up on the material sense of life, truth, and intelligence being in matter. If we've said, okay, I've had that, it's a failure, I want something better, I don't know what it is, but it's got to be better than what I've been experiencing, the ups and downs in life that I've been experiencing, conflict with other humans, you know, pain here, or a whatever, somewhere else. The point is that life on a material basis is not consistently harmonious. In fact, if anything, it's probably consistently in conflict. One has to consciously make the decision, according to what John Morgan is telling us, to desire to get out of the absence of persistent harmony that we lack following the belief of a material birth, a material life, and all of the ups and downs that go with being in the dance of mortal mind. Sometimes it's very pleasant. Other times it is pure hell. What do we want to do? Do we want to live for that moment of ecstasy? Or do we want to have a consistent life of harmony, the thrill of progress consistently, the independence that the study of Christian Science offers? I mean, we're not dependent on another man or woman or anyone else. The sense of independence, individual independence, that is provided when we are consistently pursuing the study of God is beyond anything else that one can devote their effort to. Because if one is pursuing a consistent effort to learn more about God and man and the relationship between God and man, they can apply it to anything and everything that they're involved in, which means that it converts the chaotic nature of human life into a much improved concept of our experience. Remember those introductory quotes to the whole of Science and Health. It's at the very beginning. It's even before the table of contents. I think it's intended to make sure that we're thinking about that when we even look at the table of contents. Those quotes, again, are, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's the words of Jesus, as quoted by John, chapter 8, the Gospel of John. The second one is by Shakespeare, There's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. The third one by Mary Baker Eddy. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. Imagine how an individual life could be transformed if they just thought about those two steps to bring about the blessing. Realizing that the only thing we want to know is truth. And the thoughts that we entertain will have a direct impact on our experience. So what do we want to have as our experience? Because it will be dependent upon the thoughts that we entertain. And if we do number one and number two correctly, thinking about God, man, and the relationship between God and man, and apply that to everything that we're doing throughout the day, then at the end of the day, we will realize that we have been blessed. And that's God's desire, that we be blessed. Do I mean God as a person? No, I mean the qualities themselves define what God is. And if we comply with those qualities, we're going to have the benefit of love. Because love is like the wholeness of all of them together. The completeness. We're going to go around with a smile on our face. Everyone's going to think that it's painted on there because we're always smiling. Gee, have you noticed Joe the last 2 weeks? He never gives us any expression on his face that lets us know that he has any problem whatsoever. He's always smiling. Or maybe I should probably say Job instead of Joe, a longtime friend that I've referred to in many recordings, said that Job is everyone. It's you and me, it's everyone. Because we are all challenging the belief that life, truth, and intelligence is in matter. And that's what Job experienced, that it was in matter. And he had to work out of it. He had to be enlightened. He was down to where he had absolutely nothing. From prosperity to rags. Instead of rags to riches, he was from riches to rags. That's what we need to realize when we make our choices on what thoughts we're going to entertain. What truth are we going to accept? Is it self-will, our own rationalization, or is it the truth of God? When we are stating a treatment, it's important to seal it. And by that I mean words similar to this. God is all creative ability, all capacity, all capability, all functionality, all action. The only intelligence, the only wisdom, the only knowing. The only power, the only presence, the only science. the only action. Therefore, there is nothing that can prevent the truth that has been stated in this recording from being effective. Nothing can dilute it, deflect it, interfere with it in any way. Nothing can stop it or reverse it. The truth is always true, and it is effective. And this goodness flows out for the benefit of all humanity. There is nothing but God. Amen.